You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I realize everyone has been wondering, you know, what happened to Drew and Grant. They moved on. I think one of them is writing a book. I can't remember which one. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking Warriors with some of the most rabid fans in the NBA. I have been a fan of the Warriors since I was a little kid. I remember going to a game, I think it was Antoine Jameson's rookie year. It was shortly after the choke. I was there, I was 9 years old, and my section was mostly empty. I was up at the top of the bowl, me and my godbrother, who was about a good 10 years older than me. He was in college at the time. I'm pretty sure the Warriors lost that game. I can't remember who we were playing, but they did the t-shirt toss, and they still had those slingshots. So they needed three people to work the slingshot, and it came right into our section. Because there was nobody there, my godbrother was able to run through our section, grab it right before somebody else got it, and he gave it to me, and that was the beginning of my Warriors fandom. Fast forward almost 20 years, and I'm a credentialed member of the Warriors journalistic community. I write for Bleacher Report, and I get to go into practices, games, post-games, make sure that I get the scoops out to all of my readers and hopefully to my listeners on this podcast. I also write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts for Forbes.com. You can check out my writing on Bleacher Report or Forbes.com just by searching my name, Aliko Carter, A-L-I-K-O. That's how it's spelled. And I look forward to hearing from you in the comments. You can also find me on Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. It means to think in Latin. Stay thoughtful. Now, as for this pod, I want to take it in a lot of different directions. I've already covered myriad stats. I'm a stats guy. I think stats are extremely important in figuring out what's happening on the court, how teams are playing, and extrapolating what we can expect to see in the future. I'm also a big pop culture guy. I love kicks. I've already talked about Klay Thompson's anti-kicks. They're fire. I will be discussing the KD10s, different colorways, the Curry 4s, and different player-exclusive shoes that the other team members will be wearing. Today on Locked On Warriors, we'll be discussing Draymond Green in the first segment, as he's been flying way under the radar this year. His scoring is down, but he's filling up the stat sheet. Then I'll check out my Warrior of the Week and let you know who it is when that segment comes up. I mean, I'm sure some of you can guess. And finally, I'm going to get personal. I'm going to talk about fandom, what it means to me, and how loud some of the arenas that I've been in recently have been. In comparison with Oracle, obviously, which is one of the loudest arenas still. But back to Draymond. He's known as a defensive stopper around the NBA, and the Warriors' defense hasn't been great, so obviously Draymond is the culprit, right? I actually talked to Zsa Zsa a few weeks ago about the Warriors' defense, and he said it's 1 through 5. There's 5 people on the court, and if one person makes a mistake, everybody makes a mistake. But this was back when the Warriors were struggling a little bit. They've righted the ship, and Draymond's a big part of the reason why. After an atrocious start for the Warriors defensively, Draymond's defensive rating is back below 100 at 99.5, which, by the way, is excellent. And his net rating is right around his historical plateau of 11.5, plus 11.5. So, we really got to talk about Draymond. Basic stats, he's only averaging 10 points, but he's grabbing 8 rebounds and assisting the ball at a high rate. His turnovers are down below 3 a game, and his assist-to-turnover ratio is above 2, which is where we want it. At this point in the season, he's really playing in within himself. He's not taking too many bad shots. His three-point percentage is up at 35%, which, 35 is good, 34 is bad. So let's keep it there. I wouldn't say he necessarily got better than he was last year, the year before. I mean, he's still the dominant defensive force, but there are a few things he's improved on. I mentioned he's blocking jump shots now consistently. And it's not like he hasn't done that before, but this is something that's happening on a regular basis, and it's beautiful. He also has a little bit more finesse around the rim than he used to. So there are arguments to be made for, even though his stats are a little down this year, arguments to be made for his improvement. Near the very beginning of the season, I wrote a piece for Bleacher Report called What Would the Warriors Be Without Draymond Green? He had a little injury. The Warriors were losing. They fell down 1-2. Draymond wasn't playing extremely well. He was spraying passes left and right, turning the ball over a lot, and the defense wasn't there. He was getting beat on all sorts of moves around the basket, in and around the rim, and he didn't look like himself. But to be honest, the rest of the team didn't look like themselves either. They were turning the ball over 23 times a game. The defense was bad, allowing 110, 120 points. And so it wasn't just Draymond, but he took it upon himself to become more aggressive after some of those losses, and particularly after the loss to the Pistons. It honestly felt like that was the Warriors' rock bottom for the first part of the season, and he said he wasn't being aggressive enough. He had to make himself into a threat, and since then he's done that. He's become more aggressive moving to the basket, drawing defenders in, and kicking out to open shooters. He's become more aggressive with his own shot and calling his own number, which I'm so down for, because even though he's known for his defense, he's still an above average offensive player. He's so cerebral. He sees things that other people don't see, and he has the wherewithal to execute in the tightest of spaces, which obviously can sometimes lead to turnovers, but when it works, it's a thing of beauty. People are already talking about Draymond as the defensive player of the year for this season, with Rudy Gobert and Kawhi Leonard sidelined. I think it's a little early to prognosticate, though I think Al Horford would be a deserving recipient for the award as well. The way the Celtics are playing defense, you have to reward that anchor. But of all the places where Draymond excels, my favorite subject to talk about is his trash talking. I can't remember which game it was. It might have been the Nets game, but he was being heckled, and he said to the fans that he couldn't hear them because they were too far away, which, you know, that's just cold. And cold in the funniest way. I mean, leave it to a multimillionaire to make fun of fans for not being able to get closer seats, but, you know, at the same time, they started it, so they started it. But yeah, Draymond's on another level with his trash talking, and on another level now, talking to the refs. I mean, he complains after every single call, or every single non-call, which, I want to be able to hear exactly what he's saying to the refs sometimes, because he can seem so composed. He's still getting technicals. He's still picking up where he left off reputation-wise, but there's also just a rapport that he has with some of the referees, and I want to dig into that a little bit. Because I think there's a mutual respect there, even though he's still picking up technicals at a higher rate than anybody else on the team, and even though he still has a level of headcaseness to his personality, I think the referees understand what he brings to the table, how important he is to the Warriors, and so they take him seriously. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year, and that rapport it's an odd relationship, but it's real. But really, the phenomenon I wanted to discuss was Draymond flying under the radar as far as his play. Every story about Draymond has been about, oh, Draymond suspension, Draymond thinks this, Draymond fires back at Mark Cuban about racist owner comments. And it's all well and good, but he's still an All-Star. He's still the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. I think that we're doing him a disservice by only focusing on the issues off the court. Did I say suspension? I meant fine. But over the past 10 games, it's been his play on the court that's been the story for me. He's been a bellwether. He's been a rock. And the Warriors' defense has been better than it has all season because of it. I think the offense is flowing in a way that it hasn't necessarily flowed. And Draymond's a big part of the reason why the Warriors have been winning most of their games, even though they're not bringing necessarily a full 48 minutes every single time. I want to get to my Warrior of the Week, but first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if 18 to 44 men is your target demographic, let me know. You can email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com with more details. Our rates are reasonable, so hit me up. Holiday cash. You need it, and I know where you can get it. MyBookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner. And while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. Where you bet is as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting on the games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Now I want to talk about my Warrior of the Week. Obviously, Wardell Stephen Curry the second is the recipient of this major, major honor based on his play over the weekend and based on how he's bounced back from a very subpar game against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics frustrated him into 3 of 14 shooting. 14 shots is below his average, and obviously 3 makes is very below his average. And so the water cooler started asking, is there something wrong with Stephen Curry? I've heard this from a lot of people that they were concerned with his shooting. I was never concerned. He always seems to not flip a switch, but his shooting gets better as the year goes on. And there's something to be said for finally rounding into shape mentally. I think it applies to Draymond and Steph and the entire team. Steve Kerr harped on a lack of mental toughness, a lack of mental conditioning at the beginning of the season. And I think more than a month into the season, they are really locked in mentally. And Steph is at the forefront of that. So he bounced back. All he did in Philadelphia was come out at halftime firing 6 of 7, 20 points, 4 of 4 from 3. And even though everybody got in on the scoring, he was really the catalyst for that victory. And how often can you say that about Stephen Curry? Oh, he was the catalyst for a Warriors victory. Well, yeah, he's the catalyst for a Warriors victory. He is the system. And I think that's what people don't understand when they talk about him. You know, a few podcasts ago, I was listening to my friend Moselle Watson talk about Steph and talk about how he didn't feel like he was a leader, how he didn't feel like he was a good finisher around the rim, and that he's really only a shooter. And, you know, I was just like, you got to watch these games, man, because, like, Stephen Curry at this point is the NBA. And I think that that's what people who are a little resentful of the Warriors winning don't understand. But, you know, as I've learned in 2017, you can't really argue with a feeling. So all I can do is drop stats and facts. Curry followed up his 35-point performance in Philadelphia with a 39 spot. He was going to hit 40, but he fouled out a 39 spot in Brooklyn. As I said before, the Warriors are still having trouble putting together 48 consecutive minutes. And Curry is, a culprit in that. But over the weekend, he really showed us why he's a two-time MVP and why the team is his team. If we want to get a little cliche about whose team it is and everything like that, it's Stephen Curry's team. Even though offense by committee is kind of how the Warriors handle business. Curry's leading the team in scoring at nearly 26 a game, followed by Kevin Durant at 25. I think that over the next few years, we'll see them kind of bounce back and forth because they're just both such potent offensive weapons, and you can't say one deserves the ball over the other. But it's Curry that opens things up for Durant, not necessarily the other way around. And without Durant in the lineup on Sunday, we really saw what Curry can do for everybody else around him. Curry gets the nod as the Warrior of the Week, even though he turned the ball over 7 times in Brooklyn, because everything else he did on the court helped his team win. And also the fouling out. That wasn't great. Without Kevin Durant, somebody needed to step up. Steph up. Yeah, I think that's something I'm going to use. Hashtag Steph up. Interesting stat about Steph. He usually paces the league in three-point shooting throughout the entire season. Not three-point percentage, but in makes. He's actually a good 19 makes behind the leader, James Harden. James Harden has 76 three-pointers to Curry's 57. And Klay Thompson is right there at 56 three-pointers made. So is this going to be the first year in 4 or 5 years that Curry does not lead the league in three-point makes? Tweet me and let me know your opinions. I mean, that's a big gap. And James Harden has been playing out of his mind, you know. Now that we're in the meat of the season, he's obviously the favorite for MVP, leading the league in scoring and assists, three-pointers, all that good stuff. Playing some defense. But yeah, incidentally, Steph is actually only shooting 38% from three, and Harden is above 40. Klay Thompson is at 46%. We'll be talking about Klay as the season goes on, if he can keep that up. So basically what I'm saying is Stephen Curry is doing all of these amazing things, and he's not even at his historical plateau from three. And I don't want to even say historical peak, because he'll never probably make 400 three-pointers again. But if we can see him above 300 every single year for the next, until he retires, he's going to continue to be the focal point of the Warriors offense. Right now, he's only on pace for 285 three-pointers made, which would be a disappointment, honestly. But like I said, he continues to get better as the year goes on, and he continues to get more prolific as the year goes on. So I think what you can expect to see is after Christmas and then after the All-Star break, significant upticks in his efficiency and volume. So Steph is my Warrior of the Week. This is going to be a recurring segment every Tuesday. You'll hear about the Warrior of the Week, so tune in on Tuesdays and see who it is next week. Now I want to switch gears to fandom. I had the liberty of being able to travel around the country over the last few weeks and see basketball played in a lot of different places. I have felt extremely fortunate to have been able to watch so many basketball games at Oracle Arena, where not only are the fans rabid, but the building slopes in and kind of corrals the sound so that it becomes even more disruptive on the court. A lot of arenas have higher ceilings and the sound kind of evaporates upwards. But Oracle, Madison Square Garden, there's a few arenas like that where the sound is really just contained. The Boston Garden is one of those places. I was in Boston at the TD Garden for the game, and I was so amazed, surprised, blown away by how loud those Boston fans were from the very beginning. You're talking about the 90th percentile right there of loudness, of rabidity for fandom. And then comparing it with the Barclays Center, you're talking about the 10th percentile. I mean, that place is, you could hear a pin drop in there sometimes. It's a really nice arena to go see a basketball game, and I was lucky enough to see two over the last few weeks. I saw Nets versus Celtics and Nets versus Warriors there, and it's really hard to get those fans to be loud. The Celtics fans in the Barclays Center were extremely loud. The Warriors fans in the Barclays Center were all right. But compared to all the games I've been to at Oracle so far this year, I haven't been to an event louder than that game at the TD Garden. I think that says something. It might be about the win streak. It might be about the first year of Kyrie Irving. He's an extremely exciting player to watch. You know, a Steph-like player in terms of having the crowd on a string and being able to make them ooh and ah and wow and scream. But honestly, that game at TD Garden was louder than any game at Oracle that I've been to so far this year. So kudos to Boston and their fans. I think they really believe they're going to win it all this year, that they can win it all. And they're behind their team. That's really amazing. I also had a chance to go to the Lonzo game at Milwaukee, his first triple-double. Milwaukee has some good fans. Giannis keeps them very excited, but the building itself, they'll be fortunate to move into their new building because the BMO Harris Center is a little cavernous. I also got to visit the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Great fans in Philadelphia, obviously, and they have a reputation for being loud, for being crass. And they were great on Saturday against the Warriors. They were loud. They were really, really into it. And you could tell they felt like they were going to win that game. Up 22 at the half. It was a very exciting time to be a 76ers fan inside of that arena. But back to Oracle, why is it a little quieter than it used to be? People have been talking about this for a few years now. Obviously, ticket prices are going up, and there's a correlation between how much you pay for a ticket and how loud you're going to be. If you pay $17 for a ticket, you have more money for beer, all that good stuff, and you get excited. You pay $300 for a ticket, and you drink your espresso with your pinky up. Or I don't even know what the equivalent to that would be in an arena. Don't get me wrong, Oracle is still loud, but I don't think it's as exceptionally loud a place as it still continues to get credit for. I mean, I was at Game 4 of the Mavericks-Warriors series back in 2007, and that was loud. But, you know, that was a rabid fan base getting their first taste of the playoffs in 15 years, and this is the fourth year of a stretch of dominance that is unprecedented in the modern era. That said, I wish the fans were louder. Being in the press area, I don't get to cheer or do anything like that. I am an unbiased member of the press, and so observing the rest of the arena has been a really interesting part of my job so far. So that's it for Tuesday. Tomorrow I'll have a guest, Doug Lopez, who's a friend from high school, a rabid Warriors fan, and someone who loves stats almost as much as I do. Tune in as we discuss matchups in the Warriors Thunder clash coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, as well as bench play. How amazing have Kevon Looney and Nick Young been? And then also we'll be talking about third quarters and whether or not it's a problem that the Warriors seem to kind of sleepwalk through games, through the early part of games sometimes. So you've been listening to the Locked On Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you tomorrow, Hoops Heads. Have a good one.